According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
I ask that beyond that which you have brought my way, I ask that you will anoint my senses to pick breath from the realm of the Spirit and to minister as I ought. Help me to supply that which you have for your people in the mighty Lord Jesus. I ask for wisdom to redeem the time. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Prevailing, prevailing, prevailing. There is a prevailing in the realm of the Spirit. And a meal for the overcomers, a portion of the meal of the overcomers have been committed unto you to serve, to serve. You will serve the meal. You will serve the food. You will serve the drink. You will serve it. You will serve it faithfully. Amen. Because we have helped you. Amen. Because we have sent help, so much of help to you. Amen. To serve, for my people to eat and find strength for the journey, and find strength even for the battle, and find grace, find help, find mercy. For you see, we have empowered your tongue. We have strengthened your tongue to serve that portion of meal that has been apportioned to you even this hour, in this time. In this time, to be added even to the whole of the food that my people must eat in this season for them to continue and make warfare in righteousness. I have helped you. We have sent help to you. We have sent might to you. We have sent utterance to you to help you, to strengthen you, to be faithful in the place of delivery. See the Spirit.
Amen. A scripture came to me, I'll just start with that, some hour ago, in the book of John chapter 18, verse 36. I think, like never before, I appreciate that verse of scripture. And it's because something is happening right now in the spirit, like it once was in the days of our Lord Jesus, and also later in the days of the apostles. And that's the fact that the Lord is giving the kingdom. What did I say? In the book of, I think Hebrews chapter 12, it says, we receiving a kingdom that cannot be moved. So that means there's a particular season wherein they give the kingdom. So let's read that. It says from verse chapter 18, verse 36. It says, Jesus answered. We know the background to that. Let's see the background to that. Let's see. This was chapter 18. This was towards the tail end of... This was after he had done that, the work that the Father gave him. This was after he had finished the work. He has done the will and he has finished the work. Hebrews chapter 11 talked about ye have need of patience that after you have done the will... And we know what doing the will. In the course of doing the will, for example, he got to a place where he earned a testimony in the spirit by which he was, that proclamation went forth from heaven in Matthew 3, I think verse 17 and 18. Thou art my beloved son. That was a chapter of the will he had done. And he continued doing so until he finished the will and then the work. Amen. I don't want to go into that. So that I don't lose my thoughts. Amen. So he said here, the previous verse of John chapter 18. So let's see what is happening in the spirit that we may not feel, that we just need to appreciate and wait on in the course of the conference and beyond the conference. I want you to know that the Lord is giving the kingdom to a people who will later be called the people of the saints of the Most High. According to the book of Daniel, verse 37, it says, Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thy own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. This was Pilate's boast. Pilate's boast was a work Satan had done on earth through the institutions on earth. Satan had been able to institutionalize unrighteousness. But God, in 3.5 years, was able to institutionalize righteousness. And the process of doing so was the process by which Jesus was given the kingdom. Meaning, at a point in time, there was a time that Jesus had not yet received the kingdom. What we come to Zion to do is to receive the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thy own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee to me. What hast thou done? You know, the king speaking to a king. And then Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from thence. The first thing I saw when I read this was that heaven hastened to bring Jesus into the kingdom, to give Jesus the kingdom, because the only way you can relate with this world without being defiled, without being corrupted, without being corrupt, is through the kingdom. The only safe and wise way to relate with this world, which is a kingdom, is through the kingdom. That's the reason for the giving of the word of the kingdom. Is to bring you into the kingdom. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We talked about when I was a child. Let's see how the Lord has prepared many of us who have come to a place where we can receive the kingdom. And those of us who are still being prepared for a season when the kingdom will be given. Which is the only safe way to relate with this world. That's the only way not to be overcome. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul, being a child here, he was talking about a man who was handling a kind, it's not really a dominion. Because this expression of power can't enable you handle the contrary powers of the kingdom that makes up this world. So as a child here, one of the audience that fit into the description of a child here, mind you, many believers in the body of Christ are not yet this child. They don't yet have this state. Those who qualify to be this child were those, for example, in the book of Ephesians, leave it here, chapter 1, verse 15. They were that kind of child who had ceased from being babes, who had profited while relating with what God's servant called the dollar and pound of the milk expression of faith. It's called faith in the Lord Jesus and love towards all the saints. That was where God started to prepare the church to make it into the kingdom so that they can come to a place where they can relate with this world from the kingdom. So at this point in time, they knew nothing about the world, even him. And he mentioned three things. He said, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. God's servant said it earlier. He said, faith is an understanding. That's Hebrews chapter 11. By faith we understand. But it takes time for a babe to come into this understanding. The migration from being a babe to being a child is a process of time where words Heaven has to marshal words because that's how the soul was created. You can't move things into the souls without words. That's why the church at large remains limited until they are hearing this kind of word. So it says, for example, somewhere in the book of Psalm 119, it says, the entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding. Meaning light is different from understanding. It giveth enlightenment and then understanding. So you can have enlightenment and not have understanding. There are many things you can do with enlightenment. You can lead prayers with enlightenment. You can even minister with that enlightenment. But it doesn't mean you have understanding. Amen. So what he's saying here is talking about the journey of the word beyond the natural senses, the five senses, they participate in the process, beyond the mind, beyond the mind, to the heart. This journey, for example, Paul got to a church, the church in Corinthians, and was quarreling with them that many of them were not yet babes. Meaning they didn't have those currencies. They could not spend those currencies the way some of them could spend denarii. They could not spend faith and love. It's a currency. Somewhere when you are migrating to the spirit, you should be able to spend faith and love. Actually, if God had his way, you won't have what is called money until you have had the real currency called faith and love. Amen. Praise Jesus. So, but a time comes, like for me and for many of us, how do you know that the word that has come your way, which firstly is the word of faith, how do you know that the word has reached your heart when it has set you on your feet? You see that in Ephesians chapter 4. Give me Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's see what happened when a higher word of faith that can be traced to the word of Christ, what happens when it journeys to the heart of a believer. This I say and testify in the Lord, that ye walk not. So he was asking for a walk. So with enlightenment, you can't really walk. You can crawl. You can't walk. So and what limits you from walking is another walk that you have been exposed to by another faith called sin. So sin is another form of faith from a fallen world of the angelic. So when you say faith and love, so what's the opposite of faith and love? Sin and death. The same way he talked about faith that walketh by love, or faith whose goal is love. Faith whose motive should be love or God. In the same way, sin, the goal of faith is to bring you to love. The goal of sin is to bring you to death. So that means sin is a form of faith. That means sin also is a substance, because faith is a substance. It's a substance of something hoped for, something that death can reward you with. Something that death there is firstly small death is a reward, is a promise. It's a promise at the season. Amen. So there I talked about how, give me that. Look at that. The next verse, 18. Let's see when this, you see, we have heard many things right now that has not yet journeyed to our heart. It's not yet an understanding. I told them at home some weeks ago, I said, even the word of Christ, when it was coming my way, it took some 5 years. I thought I understood it. Is sin that makes you think you understand it. Out a time now came, I realized I did not understand it as I ought. Why? I realized I could not operate the grace that accompanied faith. Because it says you are saved by grace through faith. Through faith. You see that in Hebrews chapter 11. Through faith. So I realized I was lacking in a grace. I could not walk. I could not generate a particular conversation of the life consistently or naturally. So I now did the audit and I realized that I don't really understand as I ought. And I realized, oh, I just had some spiritual education, not yet understanding. So I could not yet stand. I could not yet come under the world of faith, the world of Christ, and stand. I could not stand. So I was crawling. So it's possible to be crawling and think you are walking. So it says, having the understanding darkened. So meaning, seeing, which is a form of faith, as a substance, journeyed beyond their brain, beyond their mind, which is the window of the soul, to their heart. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. We know that life of God is Christ. The life you need to come to God. That's the life of God. So you see that? So it's through work, they walk, they journey the way from proximity to the kingdom of Christ. That tells you where God is waiting for every believer or every man. It's actually that first expression of the kingdom called the kingdom of Christ. From whence you will receive the kingdom of God. The kingdom of Christ is where you bring, is a season wherein you bring a life, a measure of life into your flesh to displace the former life that was there. Amen. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. So what is ignorance? Ignorance is a wrong enlightenment. So, but they move beyond ignorance to a place where that wrong enlightenment, that word entered their heart. So there was, in verse 18, there's the entrance of the word of sin. Like you have the word of faith. Word of sin journeyed to their heart and it then darkened their understanding. So that's why they can walk. That's why it says, walk not as the Gentiles walk. So some believers have not yet gotten to a place where they are walking. They are still being wrongly enlightened by sin. When sin has finished its work, it will become a seed in his heart. Remember somewhere in the book of Matthew or so, Jesus talked about from the heart cometh forth what? Give me Matthew 15. Yeah, look at that. Is it okay? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart and they defile. So some believers right now, they've not experienced a defilement. They don't yet have, they are still being educated. Spirits, they supervise that season. When they cooperate with that education, their soul will now be receptive to the seed that sin wants to plant in their hearts to darken their understanding. When their understanding is darkened, they cannot begin to walk. They can now respond to the spirit of this world. Amen. Praise Jesus. Now give me the previous verse of scripture that I was reading earlier. Amen. Just trying to lay a foundation for what I'm saying. So look at that. So it says, when I understood. So when he understood was when, you can call it the milk expression of faith, entered into his heart. So God created the soul that way so that the soul cannot easily be overtaken by the devil. It takes time to reach the heart. The heart is what God created for himself. Even for God to reach the heart, it takes time. So it took time for him to be a child. And then the same cycle now happened with a different substance of faith. So from being a child, he says, I became a man. Meaning another word now enlightened him. He said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Another word now enlightened him. Now enlightened his darkness. So when the eyes of his understanding was now enlightened, he could now receive seed. Matthew chapter 13. He could now receive seed. And then with that understanding, he can now begin to walk. Is while walking, what happens when you are walking? Sins are being remitted. You see many people in the body of Christ right now, because of this cycle that is not being ongoing regularly, sins are not being remitted. They are not committing obvious sins in their workplace, in school, even in church. They don't commit obvious sin, but sin is not yet being remitted. For sin to be remitted, work must be generated. So meaning, faith must culminate in love. Because the goal of faith is to come to God. And God is firstly the Holy Ghost, because he's the custodian of the kingdom. And then another season, God there is the Son. And that season, God is the Father. And then to bring us to the ultimate season, when God is God. So faith, whose motive is love, who faith that walketh by love is not man. How faith will generate a walk in the soul? When your motive for faith is to come to God. So the goal of faith is to carry out a work. That's why you see in the book of Thessalonians, I talk about the work of faith with power. So we're talking about the communication of our faith being effectual. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So as I was saying earlier that we cannot relate with this world. Jesus, while he was being kept by the power of God, it was to hasten him into the kingdom. So even the season when we are being kept by the power of God, we don't yet necessarily have what it takes to handle the kingdom. We are being kept to a time when we will receive the kingdom. So you need the kingdom to handle the world. Amen. Why? Because the kingdom is where righteousness is instituted. The kingdom is where righteousness has been established. You see some products, brands. They say since 1901. Established since 1901. Meaning times and seasons has passed over that product. That product now is now established. It has a name. That product has a presence in the minds of men. That product determines what men do with their money. That product, be it a car, a perfume, that product can induce lust in men. Why? The product has come of age. The product has been established. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. So something, Paul was trying to say something here. That he says, and when I became a man, he's talking about a particular season where God has brought many of us to, where the soul can carry a higher, mainly the first breath. A kind of it took place, for example, in the book of Acts chapter 6. Let's see that quickly. That was the breath. The Bible talks about the breath of the Almighty. That's the Father. If the Father has his breath, which is an understanding, that means Christ has his breath. That means the Holy Ghost has his breath. Why the early church, why they were tight, why many of them were able to come of age, was because they were able to gathered firstly the breath of the Holy Ghost, like we saw in those elders, and then they had a good report. Holy Ghost could say something about their work, that they are due for the next season. And then in another season, they were able to carry a higher breath and ultimately understanding. Because how the soul relates with the realm of the spirit is by understanding. How the soul relates with the realm of invisible is by understanding. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in that first question, chapter 13, he was talking about how a season came, which by God's grace has come upon many, where a soul becomes a carrier of the breath of faith. A soul is not can live on the inspiration of faith. A soul can respond to sin, which is a breath, by another breath. You know why a lot of times we get overtaken by a fault, by sin, is because we didn't have adequate breath. It's breath against breath. Meaning if a word has not gotten to the heart, if it has not become understanding, if that word has not gotten to the heart and then is watered, and then it generates from there, you will lack breath. So what happens to someone who lacks breath? You see someone, when he runs, you know, maybe he's not well exercised, he easily loses steam, easily loses power. You see him panting. Unlike those marathon guys who can run 1,600 meters and you still see them standing. Why? The body has been trained to house breath under pressure. So that's what you need to handle the first expression of the world called sin. There's something in the epistles, for example, the book of 1 John. You hear the word all sin, all unrighteousness is sin. Talking about all sin. But there's something called sin, which, like I said earlier, is a breath. It's what informs most what most men do. Somebody came to me earlier today that wherever you don't see faith, what you see is sin. Whatever is not what? Is what? So wherever you don't see faith and love, whenever you don't see a conversation initiated by faith, headed for love, what you see is sin. Sin headed for death. Something that can carry out a further separation. So you can see that air-conditioned work environment some of us are in. The bank, the corporate institution. You see all those things? As long as you don't see faith that is working by love, faith that wants to generate a conversation of love, as what you see is sin. That tells me many of us, we are familiar with sin. There are many things we don't even know are sin. Take away faith from a conversation, what you see is sin. So many of us, we live day in, day out, week in, week out. We live in an environment where sin is a way of life and we don't even know it's sin. Why is it sin? Because they are keeping a life that God never gave them. A life they can only lay down by faith. Amen. When you understand this, you will know why the apostles had that sense of urgency. You will know why they would communicate things that makes up the law of Christ and then give them commandments which they should keep so that they can inherit that law. Because it's only by that law you can relate to the world with any expression of the world. Amen. Every expression of the world has a law governing the life of that world. You will be defiled, or you will be overcome, or you can't overcome that expression of love until you have the contrary of that expression of faith, which I call is a sin. I say sin is a form of faith. If sin is a form of faith, that means sin generates a lifestyle over time. So what is keeping that thing going is a law. So to relate with anything in that law, around that conversation, you need another law. So that's why I tell people, if God has his way, before you are a graduate and you not say you are working in the corporate world, you would have had at least that life of God called Christ. Because you don't even know what to do with the money they will be giving you. Do you know many people in these waters? That scripture, let every man walk that he might have to give, it's not yet a commandment to them. It's a scripture, it's a letter. They quote it, they in quote, believe it. It's an enlightenment, it's not yet an understanding. That's why they are not a doer of it. When that word, let every man walk that he might have to give, when it becomes an understanding, you'll be passionate about it. You will need announcement. You will be willing. He said, if you be willing and obedient, you will be willing and you will obey it. You know why? Because you are looking for life. Or you want to let go of a life that God never really gave you. Amen. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Give me James chapter 2 quickly. Let me build my thoughts. Thank you, Lord. Chapter 2, verse 5. He said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith?" So look at me. God, look at me. For years, these saints, some of them were in this estate. They were, some things around their natural life did not change for some 10, 20, 20 years plus, just to bring them to a place where they are in faith. So some people are not yet in faith. To be in faith is to come to a place where faith becomes an habitation for the soul. So here, this way, look at me. A soul becomes a citizen of the kingdom of Christ. They say U.S. citizen. There's a pathway to citizenship. You maybe come by what have you, and you know, through the academic route, and then time comes, you have, you know, you graduate, you now get, you start working, and then they give you H-1B visa, and then later you apply for permanent residency, and then after permanent residency, they say later after 5 years, you now have residency. See, there's a pathway. Because you were not born there. In the same way, because you were not born in the kingdom, to come there, there is a pathway. The pathway so that you can be like you can be in America and not be a citizen. You can be relating with the faith and not be in the faith. So he said here, he says, had not God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom. So look at me. The reason for that delay was to prepare them for a season wherein they will become heirs. Because they are now in the kingdom of Christ, they are now in faith, they are now heirs of the kingdom. Because God, like I said earlier, he wants to prepare every soul to be able to relate with the world through the kingdom. That's the only way you will not be defiled. That's the only way you will not be overcome. That's the only way you will be kept. Amen. And heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that loved him. We see this same dealing. It's a dealing where God, in quote, seems to do nothing about your natural expectation. But because he's working from a point of view of the end, he's consulting the end. When he consults the program of salvation, he sees that what is a priority is not necessarily to change your natural estate. So it's not about the economy in Ondo. It's not about the economy in Nigeria. It's not about, the person did not graduate with a good degree. Mm-mm. It's a lot of times, it's because the person is not yet in faith. Amen. A lot of times, it's because some sins have not been remitted. It's because that person has not been trained to be weak to what he was previously strong to. He still uses a staff called sin when he can use a staff called faith. His soul still lacks a grace, and thereby he is still using another form of grace, the arm of flesh. So I tell people, the ball is never in God's court. A lot of times the ball is in our court. And to help us move the ball from our court to the court of the Lord, when there will be a performance of a particular promise about our natural or spiritual life, a lot of times God will send the word. What you do with the word will not determine a season, how you will journey by faith, assess the grace of that word, and then it's the grace of that word that will now rearrange your natural. That's the order in the kingdom. That's why I say seek first. Because every other thing wants you to seek it first. Every other thing wants to come first. Parents want to come first. Everything wants to come first. Why? Because everything is under the influence of a kingdom. Including everything legitimate. Even you yourself, you want to come first. And that's what sin exploits. That's what sin exploited. In Genesis chapter 4, what was Cain's problem? He didn't seek something first. What made Abel get to a place where he trapped something in his blood, a life in his blood that kept crying even after he died? What was his secret? He sought something first. God was raising a civilization of faith. Satan showed Cain another civilization where man can come first. So what makes us want to come first is sin. What makes us not to put the kingdom first is sin. I sent a chat to my wife some time ago, and I was just thanking her for those years when she allowed me put seeking of the kingdom first, and it came with many tears. There was a time, I remember, she didn't tell me until 3 years after. She not told me after God had helped her access a grace. What happened? While I was working, every family doesn't even come first, kingdom first, come first. Because if kingdom can come first, I can fetch a grace that I can use to relate with family. What man needs is grace. So in those years, you know, I was, in quote, I can be stingy to myself while preferring another. And while I was doing so was to hit back at the world. So all those years I was relating with myself. It's not necessarily balanced or wise. I used to relate with her like I relate with myself. Why? The needs I had personally, I felt it could wait. So I applied that same understanding to her. But Satan of course took advantage of that somewhere, and you know, a lot of warfare, because as a husband, I'm meant to shield her. So anything that will expose her to wrong thought, I shouldn't have allowed it. Yes, I shouldn't have. But somehow she endured it. And then that now opened a portal in the spirit where she learned to trust God for her need, irrespective of the fact that her husband was working in a telecom and was a manager and was relatively comfortable. So she took her eyes off my salary. She learned to trust God for her need. And then a portal opened in the spirit by which some things that I would have provided for her by giving her part of my salary, it was coming supernaturally. So a time came, she was guarding jealously that portal. She even sometimes when she has money, she would rather wait for the Lord to provide a particular need supernaturally than use her money. And she still does so today. And today, many things that a sister will have, you know, clothing, bag, shoes, many, what have you, is still coming by addition. Why? She gave herself to a particular season of long suffering that I subscribe to. So I remember then she said something. She said one day she went to the Lord and she cried that, Lord, am I not a brethren? Why? Because a lot of times some needs that maybe I or her, you know, that I would have used to address our need or our need as a home, a lot of times I always felt it could wait. Sometimes for a month, sometimes for 6 months, sometimes for a year. And so while doing so, I didn't know, because she can stomach some things. Like I said, that was not perfect. That was not necessarily right. But that helped her. So while doing so, God helped me to address a measure of my indebtedness of love towards the saints and towards the brethren, and to unlock a grace that changed season in the spirit over me, and by proxy, season in the natural. So when she went to the Lord now comforted her. The Lord now, like I said earlier, in the instrumentality of a word, that word found its way to her heart. She now understood why I was acting the way I was acting. She now related with that season by faith. Amen. What I'm saying was very, very, very costly, because faith is costly. I said all this because I said, he's an elder in these waters. I won't mention the person's name that told me. He said, Tayo, even your family does not come first. That was the secret of Jesus. The kingdom came first. Because that's where you will fetch a grace that you need for your family, for your academics. So to put faith first is the cross. Is a conversion of the cross. That's how you go against known and unknown sins. That's how you crucify known and unknown fears. The season you are doing so is a season called long suffering. You are starving sin. Sins will end up being remitted. You will end up being made free from sin. And then, it says, bear you one another's body and so fulfill the law of Christ. By so doing, you will be fully filled with a spirit portion of Christ, or in Christ. You will fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of charity. And everyone that fulfills the law of charity experiences what I call the grace of faith. It's the grace of faith that will make you live like a priest. It's the grace of faith that will make things that men seek come as an addition. Why? An activity of a dominion around a kingdom, of a kingdom around our natural life has been bruised. You see, this world, that first expression of this world called sin, which is what alienates men from the life of God, it can be bruised. Amen. Praise Jesus. So I saw that in Genesis chapter 5. What they did was that while seeking first the kingdom, many of them, they did one thing, they lived. because the just shall live by faith. Why living by faith? They delayed because there was something, there were two things in the air. The face of Yahweh was upon, the presence of God was upon the face of the earth. Faith wanted to raise sons. But Satan also, Ephesians talked about the face of the serpent. There was also another face on earth. So they had to hasten into an expression of the kingdom that then was, so that they can handle the world that was that later sunk those sons in Genesis chapter 6. So that was their own long suffering. And every long suffering brings you salvation. That was how they came into a measure of salvation. And that's why it was recorded concerning of them. It said, and Seth, and Lamech, and, you know, Methuselah lived. They didn't give that account concerning Cain. You won't hear, and Cain lived. So meaning he did not put first the kingdom. So meaning he was not empowered to relate with the world. I'm still saying something, that the only way you can relate with the world is by receiving the kingdom. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. So Jesus, his secret was that all his life, he kept relating with this world from a world. And in that world, there are worlds. And there are different allocation of words that bring you into those worlds. Amen. Praise Jesus. Let me bring it home again. I said something earlier. I said, one of the boasts of this world is that it has been able to institutionalize unrighteousness. You know what an institution is? Marriage, for example, is an institution. The church is an institution. You see now, Satan knows that if I can, how he establishes his kingdom is this. He goes against institution. And then he also corrupts institutions. Something happened during the tenure of Obama. The institutions in United States experienced corruption. That tells you he's a servant of corruption. He can serve corruption. The three arms of government. Today, America is not yet free from the corruption that Satan introduced through that man. What Trump is trying to correct is some of the abnormalities when unrighteousness was instituted. So I realized, sir, that one of the ways to experience remission of sins is by relating, using what we have had in this community severally as commandments, by using the commandment of faith and love. I told you earlier, these two realities, these two currencies, they have their expression in the Holy Ghost, they have their expression in the Son, they have the expression in the Father, and they are all to prepare and to bring you to God, to the eternal God. So they are all commandments. So God's wisdom is, Satan went ahead of him to institutionalize sin and death. So the only way to relate with sin and death is from a world that faith creates, that faith gave battle. The process of that relationship, that process is a bath takes place. That's the process when they will change the genes of our soul. That's the process when they will awaken the sense of faith. So some people call it the sixth sense. And that's how they will bring the soul to a place where the same way you can naturally, consciously and unconsciously lean on your five senses. You can naturally, consciously and unconsciously lean on the sense of faith. But how does that awakening take place? Say, awakening unto righteousness. How do they awaken the soul to righteousness? How do they awaken the soul to live by his word and from his word to this world? Is a route. I used to use the illustration of call routing. When a call is made, if you know the technicalities of a call routing, why did God institute faith as a wisdom of routing a man's thoughts to and through another world is because that's the only way to keep overcoming sin, to keep sin limited. So I noticed, for example, especially of late, for example, when I was coming today, I was streaming the meeting, and then the police, I initially wanted to send a chat to Pastor Maker to say that there are no police on the road. It's like the new IG has told them to leave the, not knowing that I've not gotten to where they were. So with time, I got to, you know, every mile. But God helped me. So as I was approaching them, I had a witness deep within that I am approaching a corrupt institution. I should take my eyes off them. You know, as I was approaching them, my humanity was, you know, because I wanted to be here on time. So my humanity wanted to begin to respond, react, you know, their face and what have you. So, but I now realized that instead of me to react out of, that is fear, I need to react out of love, out of faith. So as I was approaching them, I had to just reprogram my mind. And then when we stopped by the first police, breath of faith was able to, I was able to the breath of faith. I could have done otherwise if I was unguarded. I would have been overtaken. And so when we got to the first man, you know, he asked for papers. I showed him. We showed him our papers. He now saw that, oh, there's one paper that is missing. And I told him, oh, what happened? And what have you? And I was going to have it. He told us, oh, we should try and get it. And we should go. So that's how I now, even though he didn't ask for money, I gave him some money. I said, oh, I'm a minister. I gave him some money so that he can regard other ministers when he meets with them. And so I left. And before another mile, I met another one. Humanly speaking, there was a natural reaction that I wanted to erupt. I had to use faith to hold it. Why? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? So I had to take my eyes off their persons. There is a person that did the work that they are subject to. If I don't have that judgment, that discernment, I will lose out in the battle. And they can tamper with the atmosphere of faith over my heart. So immediately I met, we did something, we slowed down well before we got to them. A scripture came to me, honor all men. Honor all men. So I had to bow, bend a bit. The same way you greet elderly people. Good day, sir. I said, please, I'm going for a musician. I'm late. He just looked at me. He said, go. And then because of that, I said, I'm a minister, I'm going for a musician. Because he said, I just gave him some money also, even though he didn't ask. And before I knew it, that was a key. That was a key that helped me escape many of them. So that's a battle I would have lost if I had not discerned the fact that these people, they are pongs. They are pongs in the hands of spirits that have corrupted the institution called the Nigerian police. So look at me. So that translated to an overcoming. If I had not overcome, they would, what Satan has done through that institution would overcome me. And then scriptures kept coming to me. It's called comfort of scriptures, comfort of truth. One of them, for example, is give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. One reason why God wants to prosper some of us in the natural is so that you can give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. When you do things like that, it will help your heart. You know why? Because, you see, it says in book of, is it Romans chapter 5? It says, oh, no man, nothing but what? You owe policemen love. That's the only way to respond to the evil that they are, the enemy through the corrupt system is perpetrating. You owe them love. You can hate what they are doing, but love them. So the Lord told me that when you do things like that, sins drop because that's a walk. That's a conversation born out of an understanding. That is a spirit portion from the word that is thinking through. So that conversation, it can be traced to another world. So meaning I could leave my world and then I'm alone and then begin to handle police. Before you know it, you'll be arguing with them. Before you know it, they will take you out of the spirit. Before you know it, an evil spirit will be blaming you, oh, Pastor Tayo. Oh, the Lord, overcome the world. Bible said they accused the brethren night, day and night. So I escape a lot of, I escape what? Accusations. And whenever you escape an accusation, you overcome. I faced one like that too at home. A man just came one day and said the baale of the area told him to put a carpenter workshop at the end of the close. Una said no, the whole close has agreed that this place will be left empty. To cut a long story short, he went to call the baale. And the baale now said, they are the owner of all these places. I said, who gave you? He said, I'm the owner of all this. You know that this Tinubu spirit. For the first time, I could feel what the northerners are feeling. When they would just take, come, collect your land. And so I knew it was a spirit. So I thought, how do I handle this spirit? This injustice should not, what, before I knew it, it was setting up the structure and what have you. We tried, we said maybe we should use police. We tried all sorts, it was not forthcoming. Then I now realized that I can't win this battle on this ground. I have to bring him to an unfamiliar ground. And then a thought came my way and an understanding. What was the understanding? When we now met with the baale, proposed that we'll give him money to break down the structure, pull it down, and go and look for a place. And I told the people, let's contribute like 50,000, even though at the end of the day, we ended up giving him 100,000. And then the authorities that, you know, illegal structure, they saw it one day when they came and they broke it down. And then he claimed, oh, they even destroyed what have you. To cut a long story short, we gathered some 50,000, just added 50,000, not because it was convenient. And I gave it to him. When the baale is a very, you know, these touts that Tinubu has in different locations all around Nigeria. He said they are the owner of the whole area. You know, that's enough to cause you to react. You see that word? Those are life. They are death. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That word was kind of spirit and a life. You can't relate to that word like flesh and blood. You need a particular building to relate to that word. That man has a building. Anybody who is allegiant, who is under Tinubu, is carrying a spirit. He has a building. He has a kind of flesh. You know what that same baale said? Initially, he was angry. What have you? What? How can you? What have you? He said, you know what he said when he finished? He said, God bless you, man of God. When he heard of that gesture, that we put together 50,000, and then I initially had waited for like a week before I committed to add 50,000. Because I know that I was looking at the airline that 50,000 will also run. But apparently the Lord wanted to give a testimony in the spirit. He said, God will bless you, man of God. He said, God will bless you. God will prosper you. And then by God's grace, we're able to win the battle in peace. So what I was fighting was something, a work Satan has done through the institutions of this world. The only way I could do so was from an understanding that can be traced to another world. So many, victory is guaranteed when you wrestle with the understanding Jesus gave or the understanding Jesus lived by. So that's the understanding he used to overcome. John, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. He says, he talk about after all the temptation, the Bible says Satan departed for a season. Meaning Satan saw that this man had building. This man had another flesh. He could not reach his flesh. So what did Satan do? He now went to what is things in men. What am I trying to say? When you say overcome the world, overcome the works of the devil in men. That's one way to overcome the world. Different expression of the world, they are in different men. When you use understanding, which is of another world, to relate with it, you will overcome. So when Satan saw that this man had what Daddy Busi was called earlier today, the flesh of God, a particular building, he now departed from season. He now went into two institutions, the religious institution and the political institution. At the tail end, mainly the political institution. He first used the religious institution. But thanks be unto God. Because from Jordan to Gethsemane, in those 3.5 years, I believe Jesus was relating with the sayings of the book of prophecy. Because those sayings are to give him a higher understanding by which he will handle the last enemy, which was death. So he showed up in the Sadducees. You see all those conversations we read? You need to come of age. You know when you will appreciate them? When you are receiving the kingdom. When you are receiving an understanding of your world by which you will relate with this world. The Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, the high priest. Satan had his works in men. They came to him on occasion. He says, and the so somewhere in that, I think Matthew or so, he said, and they came to him and they took, they reasoned amongst themselves about the issue of tribute. That was a trap that Jesus escaped. Every time you escape a trap, you are overcoming the world. Because you are using a particular wisdom that God has prescribed for man. Look at me. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful? This was satanic wisdom. You need stature to see through this thought, to see Satan in this thought, and to be able to use the right words. Because Jesus must not err in word. Jesus must not react where he was meant to respond. He must do nothing of himself. He must respond according to what he's seen the Father say and do. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness. So this is the whole world light in wickedness. So this was a work. Like you have the work of God. This is a work of the devil in men. So him overcoming this, he overcame wickedness. So many of us have missed out of opportunities to overcome wickedness in men. You don't see that as the world. You relate with them without consulting your world. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, you see, this saying was because of what he was seeing. What because of what he has heard and seen and what he was holding. And said, ye tempt me. Why tempt me, ye hypocrites? Give me the next 2 verses. Show me the tribute of the money. And they brought him a penny, and he said unto them, Whose image is this subscription? And they said, Caesar's. And he said unto him, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. He put the world where the world belongs. Satan never imagined he could answer. This was a wisdom. He said, I will give you a wisdom that your adversary cannot resist or gainsay. Here, Jesus demonstrated to principalities and powers in heavenly places the manifold wisdom of God. And every time you do so, you come over the world. You are coming to God. Thank God we have sung that song. That song must be found on our feet. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled. Because he was relating from another world. He called it my kingdom. It's not of this world. So every time we have lost in our warfare against the world, it's because we did not do so with our kingdom. So he said, we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. We're receiving an understanding. Every time you do so, you come under. What Jesus did there? He just came under the Father. That was his escape. He just came under the Father. I've seen that in our big daddy, Reverend Kennedy Severell. He knows how to come under. Because coming under is an unfamiliar ground for evil spirits. They have left their estate. Jesus knew how to come under. He knew the allocation of words. He kept doing so until the secret place of the Most High became an habitation. Everything you do from there, you are saved. So what spirits do? They try to bring us out of that secret place. And then many times we shy a bandy, have you? Amen. So a day the sun can rise and set, and unknown to us, we have missed out in many occasions to overcome the world or to overcome his works in men. When Satan was true, using all the works of the devil in men, in the religious system, he now faced the political system. He had developed it against sons. You see what is happening in Nigeria now is not ordinary. This team is coming at this time. It's not a coincidence. Why? If in 1950 you are talking about overcoming the world then was not mature enough. Even if you overcome that world, Satan will say, telling me there's still addition. There's still other version of the world that you have not overcome. He will tell you you have not. So there's a reason why we have, sorry to say, President Tinubu in power. There's a reason why you have gross darkness. It's because God is raising those who will overcome it. How do you know? Check the pasture. If you know the excitement in my spirit in the last 1 month when I was able to watch some of the meetings, I'm excited because, like Jesus said, he says, I see Satan fall as lightning. If you know what has happened in the spirit, not just over Ondo, not just over Nigeria, over the earth. Hey. Angels are rejoicing because they know Satan's days are numbered.
So Fetania Laga, the power of the word. The power of the word. The power of my word. I'm about to unfold the power of the word, that which was in the beginning. The word that was with God. The earth is about to know the power of the word. Yea, the power of the word. Because things in the heavens of the earth are about to be shaken. Yea, they are being shaken. The earth has been positioned for a time as this. For shakings must occur. Shakings must happen. And now is the time to shake the things that be. And to shake the things that are present. To shake the heavens and the earth. It is the season in the spirit. You have come into that timing in God, where things have been proposed to be shaken. Even the heavens and the earth will be shaken because the word has come to the earth. The word has come to the earth. These the frana brani pruktus panda asia. The things that were preached are now becoming flesh in men. The things that are preached are now being embodied by men. And this is what the heavens have long waited for. This is what the heavens have long waited for. We have sent our word. We have sent our word. And men are beginning to embrace our word. It's becoming a reality of some people. And the dragon will fall. The dragon will fall. Because his stand, his foothold will be taken. Yea, the heavens will be emptied of strange spirits. Because men are choosing our word. Men are choosing our reality. Men are choosing to identify with us. Men are choosing, are making decisions day and night. Day and night. We have brought a season upon the church. We have brought a season upon the earth. A season upon the church. That all that be named of God will begin to hasten to the things of God. We begin to hasten to the name of God. We begin to hasten to embody the realities of God. And by this, the dragon will fall. The dragon will fall. The dragon will fall. That have occupied the air of man, that have prevented ascension from happening, that spirit, that wicked Satan, he will fall. He's beginning to fall. His fall has begun. His fall has begun because the word is being revealed and men are falling in love. Men are liking it. Men are embodying it. Men are seeing a hope that hitherto had never been seen. Men are seeing a future that hitherto has never been preached. Men have seen a reality that it was known many, many years ago by the apostles. It's being revealed again in your world. It's being revealed again in your day to finish the day, the hour of wickedness, and to bring an end to that prosperity of iniquity, to bring an end to that reign of darkness, and to make a day to dawn upon humanity, and to bring a season of righteousness, a season where trees will break strange winds in the heavens of man. This is the day. It is the day. It is the day that the heavens rejoice over. It is the day that the heavens have long waited for. It is the day that God, for this cause, sent his son. For this cause, gave his son. This is the day. It's the day of great victory. It's the day of many conquerings. Is the day of great victory. Is the day of many, many, many conquerings. This is the day. You have come to that day. You have come to that day. The words you speak are empowerments to accomplish this victory, says the Spirit.
Thank you very much. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Finally, some years ago, an understanding came to me. And what was that understanding? That this world is a gift in disguise. Because if you take away the world, what are you meant to overcome? How would you grow? How would you become divine? How would you become wise? So meaning immediately the world was invented, because you can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. Immediately the world was invented, that first brainchild of Lucifer, said God saw what the elect will overcome. So it's a gift in disguise. If we don't overcome it, we'll come to a season wherein we'll be talking about overcoming the dragon. If we don't overcome it, we can have word and proof and testimony by which we cannot relate with the sayings of the book of prophecy and overcome the dragon. So I just saw that ever since I had that understanding, I begin to agree that things look differently from the way we perceive them. Nigeria looks differently. Nigeria looks differently. If you can route your thoughts through the kingdom, you realize that Nigeria is a maternity ward for sons to be raised. The same way Satan thought he went ahead of himself when he raised Rome. But what Jesus would overcome was what constituted Rome. That institutionalized unrighteousness. God had already raised Jesus to love righteousness. And because of that, he was given a kingdom. And it's by that kingdom he was able to overcome Rome. And I now see even our brethren in the north. I thank God for all the painful thing they have gone through. But I can tell you, if you stand before God, if God will show you what they could have used some of their persecutions to do, in lots in the kingdom that many cannot access in time, that they could have used their persecutions to assess, if only they could see how God sees their persecution. So please, I don't know what some of us are going through, but I can tell you, in the eyes of the Lord, it looks different. With the understanding of the kingdom, it looks different. Is the best thing that is happening to you. Is the best thing that can happen. If God permitted it, then you can hope to the end. You can add patience to your faith, and then you will later bring the devil to a place where he will say, "Had I known, I would have brought this affliction." Had I known, I would not have persecuted, I would not have troubled, I would not have afflicted this brother, I would not have afflicted this minister. Why? Because we'll be able to consult with a hidden wisdom in the process of time and overcome. We'll overcome. This year's conference will not just be a team that will come, that will be waiting for the next team. Other teams may not be the, may not carry this name overcomers, but it's awesome, it's at the core, is how to produce overcomers. And we'll take our place in that kingdom of overcomers. In Jesus' name.
We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.